think on the faithfulness of God and how, you know, I as we were worshiping there this morning, the passage just kept coming to me, and as I began to pray with you guys as well, that we are the children of God, that we truly are the sheep of His pasture. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves, that we are the children of God, and that God hears the cry of His faithful. Amen. God, here in this place this morning, God heard our cry. As we cry out to the Lord and so in tears, God is faithful to hear. He's not deaf. His ear is turned toward those that believe. And so we just take comfort in knowing this morning, as we have sown some seed today. And it's not that we've given of an offering somewhere, although that's definitely fitting in some respects. But it's that we have come to the Lord and we've sown in our prayers and our tears and our cries to the Lord. And so let me read over here in Galatians 6, just because that's where we were going to come from this morning. And I'm not going to hold you too long, but I just appreciate the Spirit of the Lord and the leading here today. And let me just read there in Galatians 6, starting with, I'll just start with verse number 6 there. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And then here's our principle this morning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. What a great promise to us this morning. What a principle that this is what we call the law of the harvest. And it is one of those passages that we're very much familiar with. You'll hear it even in the world. You know, there's different ways they've put it, different phrases that are used. Shell likes to use that one all the time. What goes around comes around. Well, here we have a very similar principle, but no offense, Shelby, we'll just use this one, that what we sow, what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is set. That is a law. It is a law of the harvest. You know, that we have laws in place. You know, and even in nature itself, there are laws that govern our universe, really. Not just our world, but even, you know, the law of gravity holds the planets in place. That is a law. They obey that every day. They don't, you know, the moon doesn't wake up one morning and decide it's just not going to obey the law of gravity today. Because if it did, I think they tell me that it's actually falling toward Earth. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to be. But that the moon is out there, and we're orbiting together, and as the moon orbits around the Earth, it's actually falling toward Earth. But there's a force of gravity that's keeping it away. And so that if it moved any direction, 1 meter, one way or the other, it would be catastrophic to our existence. But yet God placed the law there. There, you know, we've got acceleration due to gravity. It is a set number. It's set. It doesn't change. It's not based on the size. This is how objects accelerate. Why? Because that is a law. Scientists can go in certain ways, they can measure things, and they come away and say, well, that's the way things do repeatedly. They repeat things, and that's how they come to conclusions. You know, we think about Newton's law and Galileo's law. Well, really, they're not theirs. They're God's laws. And we know that, you know, we aren't some, you know, cosmic accident, that we were put in place by design. Even the most staunch atheists will come away and say, yes, this universe gives the appearance of a designer. Well, there's a reason for that. Because It was designed. And that God is the creator. And think about this morning, that very one that designed, that many are resisting his law, many are refusing his word. You and I have gathered together this morning because we believe God's word to be true. Amen. We are people of like precious faith. And so we've come together to call on our Father that hears our prayer. Amen. He hears us. And that when he says that this law that is given says, don't be deceived. Don't ever be deceived. Don't ever let this world deceive you. Don't ever let the people around you deceive you. Don't ever let your own heart deceive you. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. I mean, that God is not made fun of. That God is not made light of. That God, over the very course of time, will in the end, his laws come into effect and they will accomplish exactly what they were meant to accomplish. God is not mocked. So, well, I don't see things working out exactly the way I think they should. God, I would do it this way. Well, aren't you glad he's God? And that this is his deal. It's probably a poor way to put it, but it is not ours. This is his. And he is in control, and he sees all, and nothing that is sown, nothing that is done passes his eye. There's nothing that goes on in our world that he just ignores and looks past and says, well, you know what, I'm just going to let that one slide. God sees all. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is one of those things that we're all convinced of. We know it to be true, but we just need to be reminded once in a while. I often go to the passage there where Peter said, you know, though you be established in present truth, I'm not going to be negligent, but to remind you. A lot of times we just need reminding. I need reminding. Amen. Brother Ray got that word from God there in the book of Psalms. I know, Brother Ray, you know that God's in control and that God hears our cry. But once in a while, we just need to be reminded of that. Amen. Because why? Because situations come into our life that we're not so sure of and we don't know the end of it. And God just steps in and reminds us, listen, you're my child. You're mine. I see that. You are my sheep, and I'm the good shepherd, and I'm going to provide for my sheep. But once in a while, we just need to be reminded, and so that's all we're doing this morning, is just reminding that whatever we put into the ground, whatever seed we plant, that's going to be what comes up. Amen. Whatsoever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. I've said it before. I don't pretend to be a farmer. I'm not a farmer, but I got enough sense to know that if I put corn in the ground, I don't expect squash. Why? Because that's the law of the harvest. And so it is a very basic principle, but yet there's so much behind it. Because here the Apostle Paul, with respect to the Galatians, tells them, says, "Don't be deceived." Well, we already know they were already deceived. Matter of fact, there in the early chapter, there, chapter 1, he says, I marvel that you're so removed from the gospel unto another, which is not another. He marveled that they were so removed. Look, matter of fact, there in chapter 3, there, what did he tell them? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who has bewitched you? Who hypnotized you? Oh, foolish Galatians. And so we could kind of take this as more of a command in this way and toward the Galatians and even toward us today. Be not deceived. Stop being deceived. God is not mocked. That is for us today. God is not mocked. He is not thumbed at. He is not ignored. He will not be ignored. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That if we will sow unto the Spirit. See that there's two fields we can sow in. We can sow into the flesh, we can sow into the Spirit. Now, if we get into that whole thought of this corruption, and the word there just means decay, that they that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Before we go too far with that, let's think about what we've learned now, up till now, here in the book of Galatians, that there were those that had come in and they were adding unto the gospel. They were telling those that were there in this land that they would need to be circumcised and keep the law for salvation. And Paul had come in and told them, you know, the works, these fleshly things, these fleshly ordinances won't get it. That's not what's going to accomplish this, but we are saved through by faith through grace, plus nothing. And so when they would rely on their own works and their own ability, what they would get is just corruption. And my mind goes there. I won't go there this morning just for the sake of time, but over there in Romans where it talks about the creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, that they were subject unto corruption, that whole system just brought about decay, but now through the Spirit, they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's through the Spirit of God. Amen? It's through the work, the finished work of God. I know we keep going back to that, but when you think about Jesus there with the woman that he met there at Jacob's well, and those words that he said, I think it's over in John chapter 4. It's interesting because he goes from there, from his encounter with that woman, where he gave her that lesson about the time cometh and now is where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in the truth. And as his disciples, as they returned to him, and they had went away to get food, and apparently, you know, they came back and they bought their subs or whatever they went out to get for their master. And when he brought it back to them, he gave them, they wanted to give him food. And Jesus says, they said to Jesus, eat, there in verse 31 of John 4. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His meat was to do. Man shall not live by bread alone, he said in another place, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by just what they eat. And Jesus here to his disciples says, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me, to do the will of my Father. That's what was going to give strength. Now let me say this morning with respect to our lives. And we've touched on this before, but when I first saw this in my own life, it just made such a difference that, you know, when I want to live a victorious life and walk in strength and overcome, that we find that as we do the will of our Father. That's our meat. When we seek to do the will of God. Now, let me be quick to add this, because, you know, when we think about doing the will of God in our life, the reality of it is not many of us are called to a mission field somewhere. Not even many are called to preach. Not many are called to go here or to go there and work in this. But many of us, that once we come to the Lord in faith, our lives don't really look that much different. You know what I'm saying? We still get up on Monday morning. We still go to work. We still, you know, eat breakfast or whatever. You're just going through your life. And so we've just got things that we do in this life. But even in the midst of that, we also understand that there is no spiritual and secular to that life of a believer. We can't separate the two. That when we surrender all, that we have done just that, we've surrendered all. And so I just want to qualify that, because what we do is that, just as Paul tells us over in the Galatians, that be not weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing good. When opportunity presents itself, whether we be on our job, whether we be at Walmart or whether we be at Food Line, wherever we are, we can do good. We can be about our Father's business. that we can seek God and say, oh, Lord, now I know I'm just going through the mundane here. I'm just kind of going about my business, and you've called me to do that. You haven't called me to sit at home and, you know, stare up into the skies and just say, okay, I'm serving God. But you've called me to go out and do. But in the midst of that, Lord, use me to do the will of the Father. God, use me to let my meat be that my real strength be that I'm going about looking for opportunity to work for God. And so in the midst of that, you know what that kind of does to the rest of our days? Is all of a sudden that monotonous behavior, that monotonous activity that just kind of drudges on and on and on. You get up Monday, as soon as Monday comes, it seems like here's another Monday, and here's Friday. We get all excited about Friday, and Friday comes, and all of a sudden it's Monday, and we just went through vacation. I was so excited about vacation. I no sooner got everything unloaded out the car, it was time to put it back in. I was like, Lord have mercy. It just keeps rolling on. But when we seek to do the will of God, when we seek to do good, well, what good is it doing for me to go about seeking to do good? Well, because you're going to reap what you sow. In another place there, Jesus says, they that reap sparingly, they're going to sow sparingly. They that reap so bountifully will reap bountifully. So it is our desire, God, not that we're doing to get, but in reality, when we're serving the Lord, when we're living the lives for our Savior, that we do seek the will of God. We do seek the will of the Father. Let me read on from there just a little further. It says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he says this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. That's a mouthful, and I'm probably sure there's a whole lot that could be said about that. But what quickly comes to my mind as I read that passage, it was always, you can read throughout the Old Testament scripture, even in the prophets, that when judgment came upon the nation, that judgment was always in the form of this. You're going to sow a seed in the ground, and another's going to reap it. How terrible that is. To think about planting a garden and sweating and working the ground, breaking up the ground, putting the seed in the ground, watering, getting the weeds out, working, and about time it comes to partake of that crop, and here comes another, and you wake up the next morning and someone has picked all your squash, they've picked all your butter beans, all your green beans, and they're gone. That's terrible, isn't it? Well, here's the opposite side of that. Here's where Jesus says, and this was also in Old Testament scripture, you can find it, where his people, it was a sign of an abundant blessing of those that you were going to reap what someone else had sown. That was a sign of victory. It was a sign that they had overcome their enemies. It was a sign that God was with them and blessing their efforts, and that they were going to reap what they hadn't sown. How great is that? I do that all the time at the Peggy's. I go in there, sit down and eat me some butter beans, and I didn't pick them. They're looking at me like, you ought to be picking them. Well, I don't, and I didn't, but I got to sit down and enjoy I'm not even that crazy about butter beans. Let me think of another example. Squash. I love squash. Love fried squash. I get to sit down. Shell picked some squash the other day, and she cooked it and fried it up. I just sat down and ate. It was so great. And someone else had done the labor. And that's what the thought is here, that we can reap from not really, see, we're going to reap what we sow. But you know what you and I have done in Christ Jesus? We are reaping what Christ sowed. Think about that. Man, the finished work of Jesus Christ, you and I, through faith in that work, in that finished work, in our surrendering our lives to him, are reaping from what Jesus did on our behalf. Amen. Jesus that went to that cross, man, paid the price for our sins. How can we not worship him this morning? Amen. How can we not stand up for Jesus and declare him unto this world? How can we not just have the victory in our heart and say, God, we thank you, Lord. He says, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered in to their labors. Like I say, I'm sure there's much more that could be said about that. But back over in Galatians, just so we just kind of wrapping it up here this morning. This is what he says. This is to that one that have sown over and over again, and just feel like you've not reaped from it. And you say, well, God's just not going to move here in this situation. Listen to what he said. Let's not be weary. Amen. What does it mean to get weary? It means to be tired, doesn't it? It says, let's not be weary. Don't lose heart. Jesus told his disciples, he said it this way. He told them a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Amen. God gives us prayer so that we don't grow weary. Amen. God gives us prayer so we can go to him and be strengthened. He says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't lose heart. And then he says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Then he adds something on to this, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Let us do good to all men. Our meat is to do the will of the Father. Our meat is to do good unto all that we come into contact with. But I would be a sad husband, I would be a sad father, if I would go and do for everyone else and then forsake my own family. Amen. I would be pitiful if I would go and give everything I had to all everybody else's children, and my children would sit at home with nothing. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here. He says, do good to all men, especially unto your brothers and sisters, especially unto those which are of the household of faith. I love that phrase, household of faith, because it goes back to the same thing, just as we were looking at last time we were together, about restoring those that would be drawn away. It tells us this, that we're of a household, especially unto those who are of the household of faith, that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we are a many-membered body. And here this the instruction to us is, don't be weary. First tells us, make sure you're putting the right seed in the ground. If you want friends, the Bible says you got to show yourself friendly. All right? A lot of people going around saying, I have no friends. Woe is me. I got no one to be my friend. And they're not putting that seed in the ground to be friendly. I've seen it in other people's lives, and even experienced it in my own life, that you know, if we're going around grumbling and complaining all the time, you know what we're going to get? Grumbling and complaining. But if we go in and plant that seed of joy. See, one thing to keep in mind, I know we keep coming back to this, is that we're talking about all the way back into chapter 5 when he was referencing the fruit of the Spirit. And so from here, we've got this fruit of the Spirit, which is just a farming thought as well. You get fruit. And so from there, we've come into this, where he's just talking about the sowing and the reaping. Man, that it's really comes back to the work of the Spirit of God. He says this, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Man, we're not leaning upon our own works, our own ability, but we're leaning upon the Spirit of God that has quickened us, that has made us alive in Christ Jesus. And now we, through faith, continue and to work for him. Be not weary, don't lose heart, don't faint in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Amen. Where is that passage there, and I guess the Old Testament scripture talking about if we sow in tears. Anybody know exactly where that is? Might be in the Psalms.
Psalms 126:5.
Yeah. Let's read that as we close this morning. I do feel that is what God wants us to leave us with today. Listen, 126. Let's just start with verse 5 there. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Thank you, Father, for your word. God, we are so thankful, Lord, for your promise today. God, we are so thankful for this promise. Well, we know that thy word is true. God, we know that we are yours. And we are so thankful for your presence here this morning. Lord, for that word, God, that, Lord, let it go to our heart and let us not just be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, God, but let us be doers of that word. And we understand that, Lord, if we would sow in tears, that we would reap in joy. Going forth weeping, God, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Thank you for your promise. We stand on thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.